Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. When Christ began to preach, he began to gather disciples who should be hearers and afterwards preachers of his doctrine, who should be witnesses of his miracles and afterwards testify concerning them. And those who would follow Christ aright must, at his command, leave all things to follow him, must be ready to part with them. This instance of the power of the Lord Jesus encourages us to depend upon his grace. He speaks, and it is done. Matthew Henry. Evangelism is the intentional proclamation of the good news that God has provided salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus, who is the Father's Christ and the Savior of humanity. Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah, meaning anointed one, to be divinely appointed. You have also heard him referred to as Emmanuel, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb of God, and King of Kings. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21-23, he alone is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. In Philippians 2:9-10, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look around, and for generations too numerous to count, many have tried to place themselves above all others, some even confessing to having made a deal with the devil for the power that they have acquired. But they too, like each of us, come to the same end. Death lays claim to each body that comes into the world. And so these men and women, for a time, can either rise to the occasion in which they have been called to, or they can submit to the darkness and flounder and fall, but not before causing great chaos and confusion and claiming many lives. From the very beginning, man was given a choice, and the choices always have led to life or death. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from any tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You surely will not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:1-4. From a simple sleight of words, deception was given birth, and it slithered into the world. By Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit, death came as a separation of man from his Creator, and the Creator from his creation. Suffering, hard times, and pain fell upon all of creation. And yet a hope was given by God when he spoke of the things to come as a result of what had been done by both parties of Adam and Eve and of the serpent. To the serpent he said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, and with pain you will give birth to children. And your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. And it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you will taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Genesis 3:15-16 and 17b-19. And so entered into the world the need for a Savior, one who would reconcile man to God and remove the eternal curse of separation, one from the other. And so came the promise that a Messiah, an anointed one, would prevail over sin and evil, and he would be a ruler that would be as no other, and of his kingdom it would never end, and through him a kingdom of priests would be from all nations established, and it would stand eternal. This Messiah's role would be as a redeemer. He alone would be able to pay the price, the ransom required for man to know God intimately again, to walk and talk with him as Adam and Eve once had. His role was to establish God's kingdom, calling a body of believers who would worship God as he ought to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. And he was a prophet. To mankind he would reveal God the Father and the will of God, and being a reconciler, drawing man and God the Father together, by showing us how to change from being enemies of God to becoming sons and daughters of the one true living God. This Messiah would come to change the world, and change the world he would. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us." And Isaiah would also proclaim in chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And of this Redeemer who was to come, it would also be written of by Isaiah in chapter 53, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Peter said of him in 1 Peter 2:22, "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." This is the one of whom we are called to lay our trust in, to lay our burdens at his feet, to come and to follow him, just as the first disciples who were fishermen did. And when he called to them Peter and his brother Andrew, and then to James and his brother John, he told them that they would no longer be fishers of fish, but that they would become fishers of men. And at his calling they dropped what they were doing to follow him, and they walked with him from that day until the day of their earthly death. And these men saw miracles, and they, through the name of Jesus, after he had ascended back into heaven, raised the dead in Acts chapter 9, and to a paralyzed man again in Acts chapter 9, told him to pick up his bed and to walk, and he was able to do just that. These men would walk with, talk with, and suffer with Jesus at the hands of those who would not believe. They would be commissioned by him to continue the work that he had started, and by what they would do in building his church from it. And by them, then, there would be a message of good news taken out into the world. And where once there was only darkness, now a light would begin to shine. Isaiah would write in chapter 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Jesus, the Son of God and now the Son of Man, would come through the Jewish people. And he would go first to them, and many would accept them, but more would deny his deity and call for his death. Even though they waited for Messiah, they were so blind that they could not see that he stood amongst them. And he would continue to preach to the Jews, but he would expand his message out into the world, and the invitation to come and follow me would now be also to the Gentiles, and the building of his kingdom would be fully underway. And so I raise the question to you. If you are a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, why have you come? Ask yourself and consider truthfully, do I live for Christ, or do I claim him in name only? You see, this choice too is a matter of life or death.